You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Overnight, the Washington Post reported that federal agents believe they have enough evidence to charge Hunter Biden with tax crimes and lying on a federal form when he purchased a gun. The Post, citing anonymous sources, said the president's son's case has now moved one step closer to a potential conclusion, with a U.S. attorney in Delaware who was appointed by President Trump set to decide whether to proceed. The agents, the Post reported, determined months ago they had assembled a viable criminal case against Hunter Biden. ABC News has not independently confirmed this report. The Justice Department, White House, FBI, and IRS all declined to comment or did not respond.
Of course. This is October 7, 2022. We are live streaming on Rumble.com. You go to Larry Connors USA. You go to Rumble.com, enter in the search engine Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right into the studio to join us. If you do, glad to have you on board. If you miss this program on the Rumble or the audio, remember the Rumble podcast will be posted later today, and so will the audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. I'm very easy to find. So now, Four years after all this stuff began to come out with the Hunter Biden laptop and all the activities he was doing and the messages that involved and wrapped around his dad and various companies and corporations in Russia and China and Burisma and everything else, now the FBI and DOJ think they have something to go forward on. But did you note in the story that you heard from that ABC report, they're looking at tax issues? That's legitimate. And lying on a gun form, which is legitimate, which does carry a heavy penalty if you decide to prosecute it fully. But what is all of this? I mean, are they really going after the real issues, or is this just a head fake? My guest later, Hans von Spakovsky, heritage legal expert, he'll give us his view on the investigation as to what it involves and what it's not involving, what is still to be decided. And, of course, this is giving Democrats a reason to yell and shout and bang on the door and raise their hands and set their hair on fire. Look at the timing. Look at the timing. This is coming out right before the midterm election. Well, there's two ways to look at that. They want to get this done now, get it out now before the midterm election, so then the Biden DOJ and FBI can go after Trump after midterm. So they could say, see what we did here? Now we're doing this. I got to tell you, you got to find the pea under the shell or you're going to lose entirely. And then when you lift all three shells, there may not be a pea or anything to be found. We're going to get into that in more detail. Last night in New York City in a closed-door session at a fundraiser, that's why there's apparently no audio and no video. President Biden addressing the crowd at this closed-door session, a fundraiser, saying that we might be closer to Armageddon than ever since the Cuban Missile Crisis. He's talking about how we have Putin threatening nuclear weapons. Now, so far, the White House has not walked back Biden's remarks, which they often have to do. So far, the White House has not backed down and walked away from his remarks. So far. We're going to get into that in more detail. Senator Cruz and Graham warning the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, after the midterm, if we control both the House and the Senate, you better get ready because we're coming after you. We're going to impeach you for basically treason against our nation because you've allowed our border to be open. Then you have the story of the hacker stealing information on 100 million Capital One customers. The punishment? The punishment for this hacker will emphasize the Biden DOJ and its woke policies. And when you hear it, you're going to say, really? And then you have to question, if you're doing this for the hacker, for that reason, what about in the midst of that 100 million victims, their information was stolen, maybe they also have reason to complain that it's being ignored. Does it sound confusing? That's because it is. We'll get into that, and we've got an update on the allegations of the chess cheating scandal and how it could be carried out. We have a lot of material going forward today. Let your friends and family know. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Ways.
This is Don Lemon tonight, and we begin with breaking news, a chilling warning from the President of the United States. President Joe Biden at a fundraiser here in New York, warning about the dangers of Vladimir Putin's threats to use nuclear weapons as his forces suffer setbacks in Ukraine. The president saying, for the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, we have the threat of a nuclear weapon, and warning of what he calls the prospect of Armageddon.
There you have Don Lemon, fruitcake of CNN and NNN, but actually, in that case, he's reporting directly, not adding comments and commentary. And in fact, later he asked a very good question, which we'll get to in a moment. And yes, he's been reassigned to the morning program that they want to boost, and he's wrapping up his nighttime slot with his name on it. I'm not going to go through all that again, but what the issue is that he was dealing with is what President Biden said last night at a private fundraiser in New York City. The remarks from the president, they're pretty strong. I mean, they are the strongest you could find at this point regarding what might happen with Putin and his threat of using tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Biden at this fundraiser made remarks that basically said that, let me get you exact statement here. We have not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Of course, that's reference to the 1962 standoff when JFK was in the White House and the Soviet Union trying to ship missiles into Cuba. And then Biden continued saying, we got a guy I know fairly well, talking about Putin. He's not joking when he talks about potential use of tactical nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons, because his military, you might say, is significantly underperforming. Now, again, those comments were made at a private fundraiser. I've been looking everywhere, and apparently no one, and that might have been under instructions, no recording devices, no cell phones, whatever, whatever. There's nothing recorded other than what folks have written down. Some reporters were there, or at least some information came out, but we don't actually have it on tape anywhere. Apparently no one does at this point. If they do, we haven't seen it yet. But it does reflect what we'd heard from Biden back in September as he talked about Putin and how Putin has been saber-rattling, talking about, hey, I've got nuclear weapons. And Biden in September, September 30 to be exact, made a statement which I would applaud. It shows that we're showing some grit and we're not going to be pushed around. We're going to stand up. Whether or not we do will be the other issue. It reminds me of Obama drawing the line in the sand and then backing up and backing up and backing up. I don't think Biden can or will do that this time, but how far will Putin push things? But let's go back to the assessment that Biden had on what's happening in Ukraine and regarding Putin on September 30.
America and its allies are not going, let me emphasize, are not going to be intimidated, are not going to be intimidated by Putin and his reckless words and threats. He's not going to scare us, and he doesn't or intimidate us. Putin's actions are a sign he's struggling. America is fully prepared with our NATO allies to defend every single inch of NATO territory. Every single inch. So, Mr. Putin, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Every inch.
Every inch of NATO territory. Now, Ukraine is not part of NATO at this point, but neighboring nations are. And, of course, if there's any strategic nuclear weapons used in that region, those neighboring nations will also end up being affected. Now, the situation that Biden referred to is that it might be that Putin is just pushing back like this because he can see things are not working out to his advantage. And we've seen numerous reports coming out that the military and the administration have been trying to deny. In fact, just again today, the Kremlin spokesman denying reports that up to 700,000 Russians have fled the country to avoid being mobilized for the war in Ukraine. The Kremlin spokesman admits, well, there have been some hasty defections, but the number is much, much lower than 700,000. He said, I don't think those numbers should be taken seriously. I don't have exact figures, but of course they're far from what's being claimed here. Now, again, they're trying to put the best face forward on what is happening in Ukraine because it is not going well for Moscow. They thought they were going to roll in and crush Ukraine. And Ukraine has fought back. And now there are reports that Chechen fighters are also joining the Ukrainians. At one point, Putin had talked about maybe getting some of them to join his forces. They may be on both sides, for all we know at this point. And you have to keep in mind that these Russian soldiers, for the most part, did not believe they were going to war in the beginning. They were just going to be holding military maneuvers around Ukraine. That's apparently what their families were told. That's what they mostly believed. And then the order came, go. And they started into Ukraine. And they've taken heavy casualties. The number killed has been changing. Let me look for the latest information here. I'm seeing if this update just came across. I was trying to find it. And the number killed is still not, we're getting conflicting information, so anything I give you will be kind of vague. Let me put it this way. There are heavy casualties on both sides. That's not helping the soldiers that are on the front line, and then there have been numerous reports of those on the front line have stripped off their uniforms and tried to blend in with civilian population. And keep in mind, at one point, Ukraine was part of the old Soviet Union. They all speak pretty much Russian of one dialect or another, and they may also have relatives in the region that they're in the midst of attacking. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to go through it. And mothers have been protesting, and fathers and others across Russia, numerous arrests. People are hauled away. Who knows if they're going to be seen again when you're standing up and protesting against Putin and his war. So the general consensus of many of the Russian people is we don't want this war. We don't want to be involved with it. And you lied to us about what we were doing, then you got our people in. Now, after reports of the troops abandoning, and after reports of heavy casualties, and those who have been in Ukraine since the beginning have yet to be relieved, and they're battle fatigued, if nothing else, Putin then decided to order the military mobilization. That was supposedly going to affect only men who have served in the military previously, or of young men who would be capable of going to war. But they would have to be trained, and some in cases, if they'd served in the military, maybe retrained. So it can't happen immediately. But as soon as the word went out that Putin was going to start this mobilization and grabbing up whatever young men he could find and basically conscript them and put them in a military uniform and put them on the front line in Ukraine, the young Russian men began racing out of the country. I want you to listen to this report, followed by an ABC correspondent.
With reports that people are waiting up to 50 hours in their cars to cross over. Many, like Dmitry, traveling part of the journey on foot. The 27-year-old spent 7 days trying to escape from his hometown in central Russia.
Sorry.
Oh, you really are?
Yeah, to Georgia. Yeah.
He's out of breath and sunburnt from 2 days of walking. But he says he made the right choice to leave.
I don't want to kill people and I don't want to be killed. I don't need this war. I don't support Putin.
Dmitry, so desperate to leave after Putin's announcement, his wife is still in Russia, but is joining him when she can.
As we see it right now, this is the only option for us.
That's one example, one of many. And you heard her say that some folks that have cars are waiting in 15-hour lines to be allowed to cross the border and leave. Flights out of Russia, prices, if you could get on one, have tripled minimum. And at any point, they expect the government to shut down all flights going out. At any point, they also expect the Russians trying to close all of the border exits. The issue is, do they have the capability and the manpower to do that when they're really trying to fight the war in Ukraine? There are even some insiders in the Kremlin who've said that Putin is listening to war hawks, and they're pushing him to do more and get more volatile and absolutely not just rattle the saber, but actually pull it out and use it, the tactical nuclear weapon. So when Biden makes his remarks last night at this fundraiser, when he said, and I'm quoting again, "For the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, we have a direct threat to the use of nuclear weapons, if in fact things continue down the path they've been going. I don't think there's any such thing as the ability to easily use a tactical nuclear weapon and not end up with Armageddon." Now, again, those are the remarks recorded by someone by hand, not on audio, not on video, as Biden addressed this crowd of fundraisers. Now, among those who were there covering it was an ABC correspondent, the White House correspondent, I'm sorry, CNN correspondent, Caitlin Collins, who is a White House correspondent. But again, she wasn't allowed to do anything but take notes. No audio, no video. But she's giving her report information to Don Lemon. And as I mentioned earlier, he actually dealt with this legitimately as news and not throwing commentary in the midst of it. And when she points out a few couple things, and Lemon raises a very legitimate question. I got to give the man props for when he does it correctly. Here's Caitlin Collins, the CNN White House correspondent, and then Don Lemon's question.
He is going further and basically just being more blunt in his language than we have seen other officials.
I got to ask you, Caitlin, because we've discussed this before. Remember, the president was in Ukraine. He made some comments he was in Poland. He made some comments in Ukraine. The White House walked it back. He's made other comments. The White House walked it back. No one's walking back this.
Not yet. I have asked several hours ago. The president is actually on his way back to the White House now. I've asked if there's any kind of clarity that U.S. officials could add. They have not added anything on the record yet. I will note that I did speak to an official who said that statement that the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, made on Tuesday, saying that they do not believe Russia has changed its nuclear posture, that still stands. So that is what they are saying. It hasn't changed. But clearly, President Biden is taking this very seriously. He says he doesn't believe President Putin is bluffing, and he believes essentially that because his military is underperforming, he's kind of being backed into this corner where those threats should be taken seriously.
That's her assessment, and I think she's probably on point. The White House spokeswoman, Jean-Pierre, had said, she's trying to downplay the severity of the rhetoric already, but basically saying that the president's simply reinforcing our consistent message that Russian threats are irresponsible and should be taken seriously. So at this point, we don't have the White House actually walking back the president's statement in any fashion, just simply saying he's reasserting our commitment. But to start talking about Armageddon, one other note to keep in mind, this was a Democrat senatorial campaign committee fundraiser at the home of James Murdoch. And James Murdoch, of course, was helping raise money for their Senate candidate. And they were putting in effect no cameras, no audio, no video recordings. But maybe someone has one. We may end up seeing it. We do have an audio of Biden on a voicemail to Hunter Biden that is coming back to haunt him. That story when we continue.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hey, Palace Dad, it's 8:15 on Wednesday night. If you get a chance, give me a call. Nothing urgent. Just want to talk to you. I thought the article, at least the thing on online, this is going to be printed tomorrow in the Times, was good. I think you're clear. And anyway, if you get a chance, give me a call. I love you.
I mean, that's it. That's staggering. The sitting president of the United States. But that's Joe Biden in his own voice telling the American people, I was always well aware of the business ventures my family was involved in. So much so I could tell my son I read a detailed article that has 50 facts in it. Imagine just sitting in a room with national security and the intel agencies with that article talking about corruption, talking about China, talking about the Chinese Communist Party, the Liberation Army of China. Joe Biden is saying, I read that article and you're in the clear, Hunter.
That was Tony Bobulinski there at the end responding to the voicemail, which we played before for you, when President Biden left a call to his son in December 2018 regarding a New York Times article coming out about Hunter Biden's connections to Burisma and Russian monies and communist monies. And Joe Biden saw it online before it was published in print the next morning and then made that call to Hunter and said, I've read it and it looks like you're in the clear. But then you hear Tony Bobulinski saying he basically, Biden was able to look at that and while the man has said consistently, I know nothing about my son's business dealings. I have said nothing. I got nothing. Nothing. He seemed to know point by point as to what might be damaging to Hunter, didn't he? That's what Tony Bobulinski was pointing out. And Tony Bobulinski, if you recall, was a business partner with Hunter Biden when they were originally trying to put together a deal. He's the one who came out and said the laptop from hell and the information about what was going on behind the scenes involving the Biden family, not only Joe Biden, but his brother and his son, Hunter. He said, it's all real. I was all part of it. That was part of an interview that Tucker Carlson did in a sit down with Bob Alinsky just the other day, again, going over some of the latest information. All this is becoming more crucial because suddenly, the DOJ and FBI realize after 4 years, we do have enough information to move forward with a criminal indictment against Hunter Biden, possibly on tax evasion. That would be a big deal. Possibly on, not possibly, but absolutely lying about on an ATF form to buy a gun. Where are all of the Democrats that are crying out that we need to toughen the laws and punish anyone who violates them? I have yet to hear a single Democrat specifically name Hunter Biden when it's very clear that he lied on his information to the ATF to buy the gun to say he should be jailed right now on those charges. But just last night, late yesterday, word came that the government was going to proceed. Again, the question is it really going to be something legitimate? And is it being done to set up the fact that then after the midterm, they can go after Trump? Say, see, we went after Hunter Biden right before the midterms, and we have every reason to go after Trump. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. But in the midst of all of this, you have to keep in mind, clearly the Biden administration has weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. And before we wrap up this hour, there are calls that maybe one of the first things the Republicans should do once they get control of the House and Senate is impeach Attorney General Merrick Garland. And in the meantime, Senators Cruz and Lindsey Graham say they're ready to also impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. We'll get to that before we wrap up the hour. But coming up, what do you think should be the punishment if you're a hacker and you steal information of 100 million customers? You're not going to like the answer. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Federal agents arriving to Paige Thompson's Beacon Hill home in Seattle early Monday morning. The 33-year-old placed under arrest, accused of hacking into Capital One's system.
It was around 6. We woke up to a loud bang.
Thompson's roommate, who did not want to be identified, tells us she was home when the raid happened. Paige Thompson, seen here in this picture from her Twitter account, is now accused of gaining access to the personal information of millions of credit applications. Capital One says that information includes names, birth dates, credit scores, and social security numbers. The data breach potentially affects about 100 million people in the U.S. and another 6 million in Canada. Capital One officials say it is unlikely that the information was used for fraud. They're still investigating the hack.
They are still investigating, investigating the hack. Now, that report at that time when it was filed by a Seattle TV station was 2019. At the time, this hacker, identified as Paige Thompson, was being arrested, and the story was then breaking. Again, 2019. Fast forward to now. And I had to give credit for my boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew, in Chicago, because he noticed this story on Hot Air, written by John Sexton, an opinion piece but mixed with facts, dealing with this story. And the reason Andrew sent it to me is going to be very clear to you once we get into more details of the story. So as you heard, the Seattle hacker had been arrested on accusations of stealing information on 100 million Capital One customers. Could have been you. Some of your information. Maybe you got something from Capital One. Maybe they're also now offering you free credit monitoring and checks to make sure that you're going to be protected going forward. That's what they did do with those directly affected, assuming they reached everyone. And Capital One insists that the information never was disseminated, never used, and the hacker never really intended to make any money or do anything with it. That's what they're claiming. But no one really knows. This was a 37-year-old former Seattle tech worker, and she was convicted in June of this year of 7 hacking charges. Prosecutors were asking for a 7-year prison sentence. According to the prosecutor, they wrote in their sentencing memo, the crimes were fully intentional, grounded in spite, revenge, willful disregard for the law. She exhibited a smug sense of superiority, outright glee while committing these crimes. Thompson was motivated to make money at other people's expense to prove she was smarter than the people she hacked and earn bragging rights in the hacking community. That's just what the prosecutors said when it came to the sentencing. After Thompson was convicted of 7 hacking charges. When she was arrested in July in 2019, she got out on bond in early November of that same year. And then what happened, when you begin to look at the punishment, what you think might be the punishment, when the prosecutors are asking for 7 years, it seems that would be appropriate, even if you just think that maybe all the information wasn't properly used, exploited, but the possibility was there. And if you don't get tough with hackers, then that's going to invite more of them to try out. In addition to bank account numbers and credit card, as we said, they got a lot of Social Security numbers, and she did download some of that to a site, and that's how she ended up getting caught, because she had been bragging on her Twitter account saying, I basically strapped myself with a bomb vest, dropping Capital One's docs and admitting it, Capital One being the banking group that she got into. She said, I want to distribute those buckets, I think, first, and here are Social Security numbers, full name, date of birth, all of this, she said. The criminal complaint stated that she intended to disseminate the data stolen from the victims, starting with Capital One. But either she didn't do it because she got caught too soon, or who knows. But despite what she did and being convicted, and the prosecutors asking for 7 years sentence, the judge decided to grant her time already served when she was in custody and 5 years probation. Why? Here's where the woke culture raises its head. The judge said, quote, time in prison would be particularly difficult for Ms. Thompson because of her mental health and transgender status. You want to mull that over for a moment? Because he is a transgender that, well, we can't send them to prison. I mean, is that going to be the way out in the future? By God, if I get convicted of anything, I'm transgender. You can't send me to prison. But the other side of that story, what about the 100 million? Do you not imagine, just bear with me here, do you not imagine that in the midst of that 100 million, there might be at least one LGBTQ plus, maybe transgender or not, they were victimized. Do you not think that they've been traumatized? They had to worry about their accounts, their money, and what's going to happen. They got traumatized. And then maybe it's just, quote, average. And what is average nowadays? I should probably retract that. But heterosexuals who also worried about what's happening to their account and their information and how they're going to get everything straightened out. Or maybe it's someone older and they're already having some difficulties coping, and this might put them over the edge once the word got out. And this judge decides because Thompson is transgender, it just wouldn't be right to send her, him, whatever, to prison. The U.S. attorney regarding that said, while we understand the mitigating factors, we're very disappointed with this sentencing decision. This is not what justice looks like, and I agree. And the prosecuting attorney added, the hacking and theft of information of 100 million people did more than $250 million in damage to companies and individuals. Her cybercrimes created anxiety for millions of people who are justifiably concerned about their private information. This conduct deserves a more significant sanction. And I think he should have gone ahead and said, how do we not know that maybe in the midst of that 100 million, there are other transgenders? Now, you're going to make them suffer punishment and anxiety? See, that's what happens with a woke culture. You can't have it both ways in the sense that we're going to treat this person differently because probably along the line, someone else is also transgender and they're getting the bad end of the stick, so to speak. But the bottom line is, again, is this justice? No. You know what the sentence eventually ends up being? Granted bond, had to surrender the passport, live in a halfway house, wear a GPS monitor, not allowed to use computers or the internet. That's it. So he spent 3 months in jail, just under 2 years at a halfway house. After hacking all of this because transgender status. The writer of the article, John Sexton for Hot Air, adds, I'm not surprised the DOJ is disappointed with the sentence in this case. It seems really light given the magnitude of the data theft. It also seems like it sends a very bad message to other hackers about what awaits them if they're caught. With that, I agree. Because, again, your first line of defense for you hackers out there, here's your gameplay. The full game book is laid out for you. Or for anybody convicted of any crime. Claim you're transgender. And if you get a woke judge, slap on the wrist. Go home, do no more. So there are good reasons to question the DOJ and the FBI suddenly last night deciding now we can go after Hunter Biden. As I said, we're going to get into that more in the second hour. You don't want to miss that. But coming up, impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and Attorney General Merrick Garland. You like those ideas? I do. I want to tell you who's behind those thoughts, and the reasoning should be very clear to you. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming as I speak, and we will be doing so in the next hour on rumble.com. Go to the search engine and enter in one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right to our page, and you can join us in studio. Article 2, Section 4 of our U.S. Constitution. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the U.S. shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Some would say, well, can cabinet members be impeached by Congress? Based on that article, yes. That's a guide on any civil officer is subject to impeachment. Now, if they are employees, non-officers, then maybe they would not be impeached. But cabinet level, yes. Which brings us to a letter sent by Senators Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, of course, and Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. A letter they sent direct to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And here's what they wrote. Your failure to faithfully enforce this nation's immigration laws and willful blindness to the very real humanitarian crisis at our southern border amounts to a gross dereliction of duty and a violation of your oath of office. It goes on to say that you have failed to achieve any semblance of operational control of the southern border. These failures cannot go unaddressed, for your actions cannot be unaccountable. And far from taking steps to address the crisis and secure the border, you allowed it to get worse. And they said this gross dereliction of duty could provide grounds for impeachment. They're making it very clear to Mayorkas, if after the midterm, Republicans control the House and Senate, Mayorkas, you will be impeached. And against that background, there have been calls for the same thing for Merrick Garland. And I want to share a piece written by John Daniel Davidson, senior writer for The Federalist. We've had him on here several times before. And he points out that, in his opinion, should Republicans take control of the House and Senate, the first order of business before tax and spending cuts, abortion restrictions, gun legislation, should be to impeach Attorney General Merrick Garland. Pointing out that under Garland, the Justice Department and the FBI have been thoroughly politicized, weaponized, transformed into instruments of terror aimed at ordinary American citizens who have the temerity to oppose the Biden administration's radical agenda. I also agree with the statement of John Daniel Davidson. Now, what happens if the House and Senate, after midterm, are taken over by Republicans? They don't take office until January. Mayorkas could resign before they are in control, and so could Garland. Could they still be impeached? That question has some debate around it. But for the most part, it's believed that they probably could still be impeached for what they did while serving in the office. Now, some will say, well, look what happened to Richard Nixon. Obviously guilty. And yet the Congress did not even proceed with an impeachment trial. There was talk of doing it, for those of you who remember. But for the most part, congressional leaders, while they believe they could still impeach Nixon even after he resigned, decided not to do so, agreeing with President Gerald Ford that after 2 years of investigating Nixon, it was time to put the entire Nixon matter behind us. As Ford stated at the time, our long national nightmare is over. So if these two decide to resign before Republicans have actual control of the House and Senate, they might still be vulnerable to impeachment, but whether or not it be carried out, I like to think we will. This is not being spiteful and vengeful. It is holding them accountable. Holding them accountable. Impeachment is not meant to be a punishment. It is meant to hold the office of the president, the vice president, the others, as I outlined in our Constitution, accountable. Now, if they have made mistakes in failing, well, you may or may not have a legitimate case. But when you, with Merrick Garland, what he has done by sending out memos to the FBI, basically, while he will try to walk around and do his own word salad, say, well, I didn't call the parents that show up at school board meetings terrorists. That's pretty much what he still did. And then Merrick Garland, well, he says, well, we're still protecting and securing the border. No, you're not. That's a flat-out lie. And the damage that's been done to our nation because of both of those two men? Yes, impeach. Even if they resign. Because, see, Biden's still going to be in the White House or somebody in the Democrat Party for the 2 years going after this coming January. But I'd say yes, let's still vote to impeach. You got thoughts on it? You can write me at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to focus more on the FBI and DOJ suddenly saying, we have enough to prosecute Hunter Biden. But for what?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.